Hello there, I'm Julian Fleischer, host of the Naked American Songbook. My worker bees, Aaron and Ellie, and I are toiling away to make season two a smashing success. It's going to take a while, though, so in the meantime, here's a little something-something to tide you over. Let's get naked.
Where's the whiskey?
It's gone.
What?
Here, you can have
some. Did it all get drunk? Even Ella and Sarah Vaughan, whom I mean, come on. There's no...
Right.
But when I listen to Aretha, she hits a chord in me that just... It sends my skin to quaking.
Right.
Is that an expression?
It is now. I'm sitting here with my delightful guest, Martha Plimpton, and we are stripping off the layers by listening to some of our favorite tracks from the Great American Songbook.
Yeah.
So in keeping with our little moment of Aretha worship, which you can't have too many of, we're going to go directly to another Aretha track.
That's right. And with this one, we're sort of going back to her roots, which is, of course, gospel music. And I think you get a real sense from how she sings this of, you know, her musical education.
When you're down in trouble, you need some love and care.
Come on. Killer. Come on.
Now, I just, before I let you go, because yes. I know I gotta let you go, which it pains me to do, I want to know, what are you up to? What is Martha Plimpton devoted to these days?
What occupies your time right now, speaking of music, the charity that I helped co-found, A is For, which is...
Say it again, A?
A is For, meaning we use the scarlet letter, which is an A, to raise awareness about reproductive health rights and justice issues. And it's extremely exciting and thrilling because I don't think the Broadway community, while being obviously, you know, politically active in a lot of other ways, you know.
Equity Cares Fight AIDS is one of the most successful
Broadway Cares Equity Fight AIDS is huge. I'd like to see the Broadway community come out for women's health rights as well.
This is an issue I know that possesses you, and
yes.
Rightly so.
Yes.
And it's always wonderful to see the commitment that you show to it. I mean that, obviously.
Thank you.
It's
Thank
really
you. I think it's. I think we don't often recognize how much women's health rights intersect with other civil rights in our culture.
Well, it's always interesting when people argue, debate the question of quote unquote feminism.
Right.
As if it's something you don't get to be.
Right. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
It's like, oh, I don't really like oxygen or gravity.
Right.
No, you don't really get to decide.
That's
you know?
Right.
It's like it's a human right.
But so. You'll see with laws that affect women's health rights, they end up affecting other people as well. And you probably don't want to get into this, but it's kind of a major thing that in states where Planned Parenthood has been defunded, they've seen a spike in HIV infections. Now, what's the reason for that? The reason for that is because there's no more Planned Parenthoods. They're providing free testing or
Right, because
education.
Planned Parenthood has become a code word for abortion. Right, when in fact it's
right.
actually a suite of
That's right.
services that are indispensable to
That's
people.
That's correct.
And they include physical health, sexual health, mental health.
So when women are the canary in the coal mine, unfortunately, for most of these issues. And so when women are attacked, we tend to think, well, it's just a canary. But we don't realize that the canary is dying because the atmosphere is poisonous.
The fact that the canary is dying should be enough. The fact
yes.
that you have to sell it as somehow a broader concern.
Well, you get no argument from me on that.
Is in and of itself kind
That's
of
right.
depressing.
So I think it's exciting that Broadway people are coming out in support of women's rights. I'm sure this won't get onto the show. But anyway, so that's what I'm doing.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Okay.
We're definitely interested in you and on all the stuff that
yes,
you're
– Tyler Ferguson.
Are you singing?
I might.
Oh, come on.
You're my favorite singer
among that group.
I might.
You know, I'm hoping that I can dig through my old plastic shopping bag of videotapes and dig up some of the performances that you did with me out in L.A.
I wish you sang
your face off.
We both did. We did a good job on that together.
We did. It was fun.
And we picked some really good songs.
We did.
And Nick Mancini, one of the great vibraphone players of, I think, of all time. Don't you?
Yeah. I'm sad he moved to L.A. We lost him. He played every show with us.
I know. He was amazing. But he was, you know.
No, he was out there for us. And
he was brilliant.
Remember my ex-boyfriend serving drinks to the audience in the middle of the show?
And, yes.
Oh, my God. We had a good time.
We had a really good time. I think because this is a live recording, you're saying, well, you know, this is about the live experience. It's not really about the song. But I think it is about the song. I don't think, if you were to ask me what do I think should become a classic in the American songbook, I would add any of Donny Hathaway's songs to that.
But what I'm suggesting is that without that particular performance, without Donny Hathaway bringing it home in a way that only he did with this tune, I don't know if you would feel that way.
I think one
of the things that makes a standard is the fact that it can be batted around by any number of different singers in any number of different styles, and it still survives.
Yes, that's a good point, but I think it keeps on ticking. But I think that the style that he's doing it in is also good. In other words, it doesn't have to be co-opted into a style that's sort of a one-size-fits-all thing for it to be considered, in my mind, an American classic. I mean, certainly you could say that about any number of gospel recordings. You know, the Dixie Hummingbirds, for example.
Children, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Oh, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Glory, hallelujah.
These are, to me, these are standards, you know. And I think that they're standards for good reason. They may not be the kind of thing that you put on a jukebox or listen to in a music hall, but they are definitely part of the American musical tradition.
Absolutely agreed. But I think the fact that you wouldn't listen to it on a jukebox or in a music hall is part of what
I would. You're saying
but
that
you're
most
different.
People wouldn't.
Right.
I would. And I think a lot of other people would too.
I wish that more people agreed with you is I think my ultimate point. I don't disagree that that's a beautiful musical moment.
Yeah.
In its writing and in its performance, all of it. But I do think that there's...
Well, let's talk about then Be Real Black for me. This is a song you obviously are familiar with. This is a song with a very straightforward chord structure, very straightforward lyric structure. I mean, the contents of the lyrics are unusual in that they're about black romantic love, which is not a common thing for people to sing about, particularly at the period. It was a pretty revolutionary song for a pop song. But it has that, it adheres to all the rules that you're describing in terms of structure, whether or not it's playable or singable in a variety of styles. Mm-hmm. It definitely is.
Mm-hmm. Our time's short and precious. Your lips warm and luscious. Hungry arms. Be real black for
I think this is an example, in fact, of what you're talking about, of Donny Hathaway taking a very sort of standard structure.
I don't think anybody could ever deny.
Well, I'm going to argue about this forever.
Well,
what time is it?
You've succeeded. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Julian Fleischer. I'm the host of the Naked American Songbook here on WNYC's The Jonathan Channel, where great songs live and live very well. I'm so grateful to my old friend Martha Plimpton for coming in and sharing some of her favorite tunes with us.
Thank you, Julian, and I hope I can come back and play more favorite tunes with you.
You be very careful. You've already done enough damage sober. That's all the time we have for that mini episode. Please don't be a stranger. Our show page is nakedamericansongbook.org. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you park your podcast. And please give us a rating while you're there. I know it takes an extra 30 seconds, but it sure can help. We are on Facebook, we are on Twitter, we are on Instagram, and all of these are designed to find out what you're thinking about what we're doing. We'll also need to know what you're wearing and what you're not wearing. Go ahead and do it now. We'll wait. The Naked American Songbook is a production of the Jonathan Channel, WNYC and WQXR in New York City. Our team includes Aaron Dalton, Ellie Smerling, Mike Shobe, rhymes with robe, and our dear, dear leader, Graham Parker. Our theme music is written by me. I am Julian Fleischer. Thank you for listening. Keep it naked.